Oski acknowledges it will probably be at least a decade before oil production in Anwar begins. One of the big questions is which oil companies, if any, are actually interested in drilling there. Elizabeth Harbaugh from Alaska's Energy Desk tried to find out what companies might be thinking.
When it comes to the Arctic Refuge, Alaska's top three oil companies are keeping their cards hidden. ExxonMobil declined to comment for this story. ConocoPhillips was noncommittal, saying in a statement it will, quote, consider it against other opportunities in our portfolio, unquote. BP referred me to an industry lobbying group, the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. And Alaska Oil and Gas Association President Kara Moriarty says she has no idea which companies might bid on leases in the Arctic Refuge.
They don't talk about, you know, whether they're participating in a lease sale or not because it's a highly competitive industry.
That said, there are clues that oil companies are pretty curious about the 1002 area, the 1.5 million acre section of the Arctic Refuge Congress just opened up for development. David Hausnecht with the U.S. Geological Survey is an expert on Alaska's oil resources, and lately, he's been getting a lot of calls.
I've been contacted by companies as far away as Australia.
Hausnecht says oil companies started asking him for information on the 1002 area's oil potential when Senator Lisa Murkowski's measure began moving through Congress. He says there are good reasons for oil companies to be asking questions. The data on how much oil is actually in the Arctic Refuge is limited but intriguing. USGS thinks there might be between about 4 and about 12 billion barrels of oil in the 1002 area. Huge numbers. And that huge potential lies onshore, in a politically stable country. Those are big pluses for oil companies. Hausnecht says there's not many other places on the planet like that.
Those combinations are quite unique when you look around the world for areas where there may be a billion barrel opportunities for discovery.
But there are some big uncertainties, like cold hard economics. Wood Mackenzie analyst Cody Rice says thanks to improved technologies like hydraulic fracturing, oil developments in the lower 48 are often cheaper to pursue than projects in Arctic Alaska.
It's clear Alaska needs more development. It's not as clear to me that oil companies need big, complicated Arctic projects right now when you can see billions of barrels and resource being added on an annual basis in West Texas.
That's not the only likely hurdle. It's a safe bet that environmental groups are going to keep fighting oil development in the refuge any way they can, including in court. Eric Graffy is an attorney with Earth Justice. He says Congress may have changed one law about drilling in the refuge, but all other environmental laws haven't gone away.
So if the Trump administration tries to rubber stamp oil decisions or take shortcuts, we won't hesitate to go to court to enforce these environmental laws.
But Moriarty of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association says dealing with environmental opposition is just part of the job for oil companies.
Alaska has been the poster child for litigation cases for any type of development on the North Slope. And so I think companies sort of factor that in the timing and unfortunately in budgets to have to plan for that now.
Moriarty may be in the dark about which oil companies are actually interested in drilling in the refuge, but just as environmental groups couldn't stop Congress from allowing oil development in the refuge, she's doubtful that opposition will be able to stop that development from actually happening either. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.